Fake handoff. He'll throw it on second down. Deep down the middle. Wide open man. Akeem Butler. Over the shoulder catch. It's going to be a Cyclone touchdown.
Has a little moxie about him, doesn't it?
He absolutely does. You saw how fired up his sideline was. And they're going to be elated for this. Purdy to the end zone.
Because, yeah, good's good. But what's elite in the elite moments? Don't tell me what you've done. Go back into the critical moments and tell me what you should have done when you had the opportunity to do it. That's what elite is. That's what warriors do. That's what champions do.
Welcome to the Whitecast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special Tuesday night recording of the Wide Right Natty Lightcast. I got to apologize. We've had some real weird scheduling stuff going on this week, but I know we couldn't leave you without a podcast because it's been a big week already in Cyclone Nation. So here we are. I'm Austin Keeney. I've got Dylan Kuhn with me. Dylan, great to talk to you. How are we feeling, I guess, after the big announcement yesterday? Because this is, I mean, it's really going to be a reaction podcast to the SciTown announcement from Monday afternoon.
I think the most fun I had was in the Wide Right Natty Light group chat, just bouncing off ideas that eventually became that article that I put together. But I mean, just a lot of excitement overall. I think all Cyclone fans are pretty pumped about this. Also, I'm not like, is this like the Nelson Mandela effect? This was announced before the pandemic, right? And it just got announced again. Is that how that worked?
That's right. So first off, did you get to cover any of the announcement or anything for KCCI?
I did not, but Wide Right Natty Light's own Aiden Wyatt did feature on KCCI News yesterday.
So yes, this was announced back in 2019. And I think after the pandemic, I think we all just kind of abandoned that idea. But now it's back, and now it's official, like official. So for those of us that are maybe uninitiated or, you know, didn't really get a chance to check out the announcement, how would you summarize what we're looking at here for SciTown?
So, I mean, basically, I think these are like the words from Pollard himself or paraphrasing. But like if Titletown and Green Bay, which never been, screw the Packers, and the Power and Lights District in Kansas City, if that had a baby, that is kind of the end goal for SciTown. But I mean, really, the crux of it is just like a commercial space in between Hilton and Jack Trice and just kind of like a game day hub for football and basketball for the future of Cyclone Athletics.
And I think one big thing that we should mention off the top is the economic impact or the the economic projections that Jamie Pollard put out there. Like, this is a $200 million revenue project that's being put into place. It's going to cost a lot of money to build. It's going to take a long time to build. But this is something that I think Jamie Pollard has wanted to do for a long time. It's something that I think the Iowa State fan base has proven that they can support. And I know there are some drawbacks or there's been some things that everybody likes to talk about. We'll definitely get into them. But off the top, yeah, it's going to be something that's really special, and it is, I think, truly unique to Ames. I believe that the university is going to own pretty much everything there, and it's a first of its kind. I can't believe that other schools haven't done this yet. I can't wait to see how other schools are going to copy this and claim that they were the first ones to do it. But if you could imagine, like, rolling up to a tailgate lot on a Saturday morning in, I believe, 2025 is when they said that some of this stuff is going to be ready to go. So you park in the tailgate lot, you get set in, you walk over to SciTown, say over by Hilton Coliseum, there's an amphitheater with some sort of maybe a concert, something like that going on, or like a free stage that people are playing on. There's a giant projection screen, perhaps with maybe some other games of the day that are happening. And then you walk down those lots where right now I believe it's where those red and yellow corporate tents are, just kind of down. Yeah, kind of down the main drag where, like, you know, the corporate hospitality areas are, like the Alumni Association, which I'm sure they'll be well taken care of. But you're looking at shops, perhaps an NIL store, restaurants, bars. I mean, there's going to be some other stuff like commercial stuff, I believe, maybe even some housing and like a medical center. And that's going to be all between Jack Trice and Hilton. Dylan, are you like, I don't know, scale of 1 to 10, like what's your excitement level for this thing finally getting done?
Yeah, so I mean, when this was announced in 2019, I was all about it. I'm still very much all about it. I think this kind of it classes up the joint a little. Not that there's anything wrong with the current Iowa State tailgating scene, but it is basically kind of, you make Iowa State tailgating as fun as you can make it. Like, I mean, there's not really anything aiding you besides bringing your best friends, drinking some beers, hanging out under a tailgating tent and waiting until the game to start. And this gives it some, like, this puts it on steroids and Red Bull and cocaine and says, have a goddamn blast. The renderings look awesome. Kind of one of my favorite parts is that amphitheater. I mean, if you can, I know so many people that it's just like, you know, you come to tailgate and then you kind of have to either go back to your apartment, drive back home because you don't have tickets to the game. I think that place is going to be a madhouse during games for all the people that want to tailgate, but are either they don't have tickets, they're too drunk to go in.
I couldn't imagine being in that spot.
Right. Not that we've ever been there.
Who's among us?
But I think that's just going to be a hit. So I'm pumped about it, Keeney.
Yeah, I that is a perfect thing that I haven't seen a lot of people talking about yet, is the pre and post game utility of this thing. So I'm sure we've all been there. We've had friends come in from out of town, or maybe, you know, people that only go to one football game a year. Like, they don't have that tailgating spot that you go to every week. And it's like, well, I can take you to the Wide Right Natty Light tailgate and we'll, you know, drink some beers and we'll watch some games under a tent, we'll have some good food. But like, and this is nothing against anybody who tailgates, and I love our tailgating scene. It's been great. But, you know, there's something about, like, I think more people are going to be inclined to show up earlier, stay later, and like actually have things to do other than tailgating and in the parking lots. People like to give us a hard time about like, oh, we're all parking lots. Well, hey, guess what? We're not all parking lots anymore. The other big piece, the other utility out of this that I think is going to be a big deal is, you know, it's going to be a year round thing. It's going to be really big for basketball season as well.
Yeah.
I think, you don't tailgate for basketball games. One, it's usually cold. And two, you know, like the games are on like a Tuesday night. So you're not going to, you know, sit out there for 2 hours. You're going to have students in line to go into Hilton. I mean, maybe they won't. Maybe the line won't be as long because everybody would be hanging out, having a cold beer before going into the game. But basketball game watches, I think, are going to be a big deal. Football away game watches are going to be a big deal in this thing. I can't think of the negative impact to Iowa State. I mean, the positives far outweigh any of the potential negatives. And it was even addressed in the announcement. So I guess this is going to be a good spot to talk about the drawbacks. I don't even feel good about calling them drawbacks, but there's obviously a little bit of that identity of, you know, this is how we tailgate. You're close to the stadium. You park your car, you drink by your car, and then you go in. This is going to change that a little bit. Parking. I mean, Dylan, help me out here. I think Jamie said that we're actually going to like net out more parking spots. And this was done with the intention of not changing the tailgating environment at Jack Trice, right?
Yeah. They're adding a parking garage just north of the current alumni center. So like where the band plays on the stairs. So kind of by like the Sheeman building and the auditorium, they're going to add a parking garage. So actually, I mean, they're going to get rid of a lot. Also, this takes up a lot of dead space though, too. I mean, it's basically just those tents on the grass. A lot of it is. And they're going to somehow add 200 more parking spots, which seems like a huge win.
Yeah, parking garage, big deal. Hotel is a big deal, too. I forgot to mention that there's going to be a hotel there, which we are petitioning to call the Seneca Was Inn.
I think
that was a nice touch.
That's a great one.
So, yeah, parking, I mean, if we're going to add parking, that's great. I think we've actually done some things to address parking this year that are already paying dividends. And
right.
I would just say, you know, Jamie Pollard wouldn't want to do this. Iowa State University wouldn't want to sink the money into this project without, you know, addressing these concerns of fans. So I'm not immediately sure how much I would even use this place once it's open for like a typical Saturday. Like right. I think back to last Saturday for a 1 o'clock kick and I get to Ames at about 10 a.m. I'm like, well, I have places that I want to go. If it's a Saturday like that 3 falls from now, of course, you know, circumstances will be different, but I don't know if we're going to be like doing the same thing at tailgates or if we're going to go right. to, maybe we'll, you know, maybe we'll hit a brewery or a tap room or something like that that's in there before we go in, or maybe we'll start there and migrate out to the tailgating lots for where we know people. So I don't think this is going to completely take away that identity. And I think that's the number one concern I've seen people coming up with is like, hey, you're going to, you know, take away our tailgating spots.
Right. Another thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
To keep in mind, like that is going to be 6 Saturdays of the year where it's, you know, if you are one of the couple of hundred people that your parking spot changes or your donation level goes up and you can't afford or don't want to, you know, kind of up the price, it's going to be 6 Saturdays where you have to park somewhere else. And I think we're forgetting the other like 46 Saturdays where this place is going to be awesome for, where we don't have a home game, but we have this awesome kind of downtown hub where it's going to be almost entirely Iowa State fans. All like-minded people, we're all cheering for the same team. You're just surrounded by your people. I mean, that's awesome. I think it's going to be almost as fun on away games or like an away basketball game when it's freaking cold as hell and you don't want to like, you don't want to stand outside, but there's a bunch of indoor places you can just pop into. And the other thing, I think, yeah, for me, like I'm probably going to bounce around to the same tailgates I already do. But like you said, Keeney, for like the casual tailgater that maybe only gets to Iowa State once or twice a year as a friend of a friend, and they just kind of want to see the sights and sounds. I mean, SciTown seems to be like an out of the park home run for that kind of thing. To be like, if you're coming to Iowa State tailgating, you got to check out SciTown. Like if you don't know a bunch of people to pop around tailgate tents, that's the obvious place to go.
Yeah, it's going to be great for away fans. That's another right. thing that we haven't really mentioned, but it is kind of hard if you're, you know, a Kansas State fan or an Oklahoma State fan who wants to come up for an away game. You know, you're not really going to get that prime parking, or you might not get the full experience that you want, but SciTown will help make that happen.
Yeah.
And this is nothing against, like, the college kids, but adults or, you know, like graduates, they needed a place like this, you know, especially to like unwind after an 11 o'clock kick or something to do if they want to show up really early and it's a night kick. And Welch Avenue is just, it's a long walk. Those bars are yep. for college kids. They're, you know, they show their, they know they tailor to their clientele, which is college kids.
Right.
And, you know, like the 30-year-old that wants to take their, you know, 5-year-old son to the game and or 35-year-old that wants to take their kids to the games, you know, they're not going to want to go to like Welch Avenue to sit down and eat somewhere after a game or before a game. And SciTown should provide something like that for them.
Yeah.
The other big thing has been like this floodplain issue. Let me just say, I'm not a scientist. I don't study this stuff. I haven't done any feasibility on this project. This is a big money investment. It's going to cost a lot of money. It's going to make Iowa State a lot of money. Jamie Pollard wouldn't do that and just like completely ignore the fact that that area has flooded in the past. And
right.
I mean, I'm guessing, I don't want to play armchair psychologist with Jamie. I bet he hasn't stopped thinking about this since 2019 or maybe since March of 2020, where it started to seem like this wasn't going to be a possibility. So I don't think they would overlook something that obvious.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the city of Ames, too, even outside of the university, has learned a lot from past floods in 93. And I can't remember the year where like Hilton turned into a floating ark. But yeah, they've made amends to make that city, or to make that river wider and to kind of up the levees. And I've interviewed Ames Waterworks, because very early in the spring there was some small concerns about flooding in Ames, and they said this is kind of like, this isn't the Ames it used to be. I can't remember all the details, but I know they've made changes to the Skunk River. I mean, you know, if it rains enough, it's going to flood. But I think you're exactly right. I think Jamie Pollard has been on this. I think this is his masterpiece. Like, I think this is his kind of, he's done a terrific job as an AD alone. But like, when we talk about Jamie Pollard, I think it's going to be like, that's the guy who made Sidetown kind of thing. So I think this is not on a whim type of thing. Studies have been conducted. Research has been done. This was a well-prepared project.
Yeah, we're not rushing into this. Jamie, we love you. Sidetown is your legacy. Please unblock me. Please come on the pod. I'd love to talk to you about Sidetown some more. Right. But also, shout out Dylan. Some boots on the ground reporting there on Skunk River.
Big J journalist. People forget that was like May or April. So if I get a quote wrong there, that's on me.
Let's talk about money a little bit. So $200 million is the revenue number that was floated by Jamie. That could mean anything. It could be a high projection. I'm guessing it's not a low projection, you know, but think about what that money's going to do, as long as like the university owns it.
Right.
More money for facilities upgrades. Maybe Hilton will get renovated at some point. More money to pay coaches, especially like Matt Campbell in the new Big 12. Whatever that looks like, or in the new world of college athletics, you need to be able to cut checks to your coaches. It's just kind of a way of the world. Now, Matt Campbell's not been a guy that says like, hey, you need to pay me this much or else I'm leaving for Nebraska. But it sure helps when you have that set aside that you can sweeten the deal. I don't think this is going to make a big difference on the NIL front. I think Iowa State has pretty firmly planted their flag in that and saying, hey, we're not going to be an NIL hub. Which we've kind of settled on, hey, that's our identity. That's a good thing. But I'm not sure what else there is to say other than like, hey, hats off to Jamie Pollard. Hats off to Wendy Winterstein and whoever else is, you know, like responsible for making this happen. The donors that have put the money up. This is going to be an absolute positive for Iowa State. I wish fans, you know, they don't like change. Nobody likes change. But I think after we get through these 2 years of construction happening in that area. And by the way, that's going to make people really mad when they're looking at that and they're like, my tailgating spot is gone to look at this construction project for 2 years.
Right. To look at orange cones.
Once we get to 2025, I think we're all going to look back at this and say, holy cow, this thing is so cool. I love that we're the first in the nation to have done this. And it is going to be absolutely uniquely Iowa State. You know, you add the bridge on. I love how this university, you don't want to be like the, oh, we do things the right way. But you know what we do is we have doubled down on the fan experience after the fans have rewarded the university with their support through some lean times. We're seeing good times in football right now, and we're being rewarded for it. Like I mentioned, I think when you have more money for the coaching staff, you have more money for facilities upgrades for the football team. I understand the people that, you know, have their concerns about this. I think we're going to get over it pretty quickly.
Right. No, I love this. I think the location, that's going to be the hard thing about other schools copying this. It's not that I've been to every Power Five school, but having that stretch of land owned by the university in between the basketball arena and football stadium, I can't imagine that is a very common thing. So I think, I mean, this will be an Iowa State thing. If anyone tries to copy us, I will say they are copying us, and this will forever be the Iowa State thing. I think it's awesome. I love it. Concerns be damned. I am a firm supporter of Sidetown.
There's probably a good reason why it hasn't been done anywhere else yet. So the Big 12 campuses that I've been to, I don't think any of them can support the project like this now.
Yeah.
In a couple of weeks, I'll report back. I'll do my own on the ground reporting from Lawrence, Kansas, and seeing what that looks like. If they if they have fans show up and if their campus could support it, I could see them doing a project like that, especially with the basketball element. But I'm not sure how close the football stadium and the basketball arena are to each other. But yeah, this is going to be like the Iowa State thing. It's our identity. People like to make fun of the bridge, and I get as tired of the bridge stuff as anybody else. But like, this is something I can get behind as an identity for Iowa State. Can we talk about the article that we put together?
Oh, I would love to.
You put it together. It was definitely crowdsourced in the Wide Right Slack, but yes. I think this is fun. So let's just talk about some of the ideas and hey, some of our free suggestions that we'd like to give to anybody who is interested in using some of the space. Or maybe Jamie Pollard, you are listening, and if you are, thank you. We've got some free ideas for you. Maybe I should say these ideas are available for you at a reasonable fee.
There we go. If like you give Wide Right Natty Light like a studio on inside town, then these ideas are free. If we can get Wide Right Natty Light HQ inside town, they're all yours.
That's what we talked about. Yeah, it could be like a broom closet, but as long as it's like done up as a professional studio, we will happily lease out these ideas for you. And it, you know, if we just get gifted like a little corner,
give us a plaque on a wall, and that'll be enough.
All right. Free ideas for Sidetown. Eustachy's Sportsbook. Now, I like this idea of a sports book of some kind. Ames doesn't really have anything nearby it that really works. Why are we naming this after Larry Eustachy?
So, I mean, really, it was just like, I Eustachy was a little bit before my time. And not that he's like a crooked guy. I don't think he is.
But be careful with your words.
Right.
He got dismissed from Colorado State for some not so great stuff.
Fired. So he just seems like the kind of guy to like run a sports book and be a bookie. And it wouldn't surprise me if he had some hands in jars somewhere. So I just thought it was funny mostly. And it has a good ring to it. Also, it doesn't have to be named after Eustachy, but I think a sports book would be genius. College kids, if you're 21, they love to gamble. And if you're 19, you have a buddy that's 21 that will gamble for you. And if you want to make money, alcohol and gambling are two very good places to start. So I think a sports book is a bit of a no-brainer.
The only reason I would say we can't do that is because it is on university-owned property. But don't let reality get in the way of a great idea.
Sell it to someone. Sell like the 10x10 feet, and we'll say the casino is here, and everything else is not a casino.
Steel Jantz's utility store. Now this makes a lot of sense. Steel Jantz. I mean, we kind of just need him around. I don't know where he. What was he in, like New Mexico the last that we knew?
Sierra Nevada mountain range. I don't know if he even gave us a town. He's just on a mountain somewhere. That's what I like to believe.
Steel Jantz, he could kind of do whatever he wants. He's earned a spot to do whatever, you know. He probably could repair something for you. He could probably sell you.
He drives a tow truck, apparently. So he can just, you know. He can do whatever he wants. I think it'd also be cool if we just have like a map and it just like tracks Steel Jantz. There's just like an all-time Steel Jantz camera that just stays on Steel Jantz and you can see what he's up to.
All right, this is a no-brainer. Solomon Young, Solomon's Secret Menu. Instagram account still active?
It is not active. I think his last post was in like 2020 or 2021. But it's been a hot minute since he posted. But that, seriously, I'm not even joking, was one of the highlights of the late Steve Pohm era, was finding Solomon Young's cooking Instagram.
I have been trying for a couple of years, actually, to get Solomon Young on the podcast just because I want to talk to him about food. We're going to need restaurants. What better like than a former Cyclone ambassador, Solomon Young, to open up a restaurant in Sidetown? That'd be perfect. This one might be... Go ahead.
I was going to say, one of my favorite ones, we already kind of mentioned it, and this was from OG Wide Right Natty Light, Clones Jer. Seneca was in INN. If that's not the name of a hotel, I will have questions. And even if it's not, that's what I'm going to call it anyways.
All right. Shout out to me for this one. Campbell's clothing store.
Yes.
Everything in the store is the color black. It's all black Iowa State merch. Black hats, black golf shirts, black undershirts, black pants, black jerseys, anything. It's all the color black. The only drawback is usually around like the end of November, there's a rumor that the clothing store is going to shut down and actually move locations to like Lincoln or Tallahassee. But if you love the color black, Campbell's is the place to go shopping.
Yeah, some guy named Donnie just kind of like whispers to you that the store is leaving and you don't know who he is and if he has any idea what he's talking about. But there's just constant talk that that store is not going to be here much longer.
Oh, and last but not least, maybe this is something in a bar. Maybe it's its own place. Flight simulators. I actually see flight simulators getting a little bit more popular right now. I like the Stephen Leith flight simulator.
Yeah. Honestly, if you've been enjoying SciTown, you might not even need junk goggles. But I think, you know, just to commemorate a former president, I think it just a nice touch. A nice touch in SciTown.
The flight simulator will be great. The landing simulator, not so great.
Yeah, a little bumpy. A little bumpy on the landing simulator. Just stay in the sky.
You know what's not going to be in SciTown, but should absolutely be a supported place in Ames, is Estos Bar and Grill. Maybe Estos 2 will be in SciTown for all we know.
Estos 2. Dose.
The adults need an Estos, and the college kids need their Estos. I mean, I can't think of a better place to go. Pre or post game right now than Estos Bar and Grill. And a couple years from now, we'll see what happens. But yeah, Estos Punch. It's 11 o'clock kick this week. So actually, once we get back from the game, which we'll talk about here in a second, from hopefully a victory over Baylor, it'll be about 3 in the afternoon. The SEC game will be kicking off. You know, get yourself over to Estos Bar and Grill for a little post game meal. Last but not least, we'll just do this real quick.
Keeney, should we talk a little Big 12 opener?
I'm so excited about the Big 12 opener this year. And just like the Big 12 football conference in general, there is nothing in this conference that makes sense to me. Kansas is undefeated right now. They're technically first because they have played a conference game already. Oklahoma looks great, but they'll probably lose to K-State this weekend. But Iowa State is playing Baylor, who was the preseason Big 12 favorite. Now, this is an absolutely huge game. Because back when we recorded our preseason predictions podcast, Dylan, you, me, and Matt all predicted the Baylor game as a loss. Now,
right,
Iowa State's unexpectedly 3-0. I think unexpectedly works. And yep. Baylor took an early loss to BYU. They are not invincible. This is going to be, a pretty raucous environment. 11 o'clock kick, like I mentioned. Unfortunately, the weather is not going to cooperate where Baylor is going to be extremely uncomfortable. We only have those problems when we go down to Waco. But have you watched a lot of Baylor yet this year? I got to be honest. I haven't really seen much of anything. I know they played that BYU game. Their
right.
Quarterback Shapen, I think, was a little shaky in that game. I think a lot of people expected big things out of him. And I don't know. They're kind of a Dave Aranda team. Like, I think Matt Campbell teams all have the same identity. I think Dave Aranda teams have the same identity. They're going to play ball control. Their defense is going to be pretty nasty. I think this has a low scoring Big 12 game. Imagine that. The Big 12 plays defense. It's got that written all over it. I just want to get your early thoughts on this one.
So I have not watched how or why, but I just kind of like went on a following spree of Baylor fans. And you can at me, you can hate on me. The Baylor fans that I follow are a whole lot of fun. I'm going to shout out Joe Goodman. If you don't follow Joe Goodman, that is the one Baylor fan you need to follow. So I just asked him kind of what his team is like, what players to look out for. I think you're exactly right. Interestingly enough, if you remember last year, they had a quarterback last name Bohannon that stuck with me for obvious reasons. He's at Southern Florida or South Florida. Almost beat the Gators last week, but was beat out by Blake Shapen. So I think Bohannon wasn't a bad Big 12 quarterback, and to be beaten out and to transfer, you know, that shows that they had quite a bit of trust in Blake Shapen to be that guy. Last week they had a true freshman running back Richard Reese that kind of had a breakout performance, reminiscent maybe of like Breece Hall in that ULM game way back when we beat ULM 72-10. So they might have kind of found a solution in the backfield. They got some Samoan nose tackle that does a whole lot of dancing. And
yeah, Siaki Ika. That's a great name, a fun name to say. And that dude is nasty. He is like,
he's real good.
As Samoan could be like, as they come.
Right. First, second, third round NFL pick. So I don't know. I think you're exactly right. I think Baylor's one of those teams, as long as they're under Aranda, to be like, almost similar to Matt Campbell. Like, I think those two guys play football the same way, or they strive to, of, you know, don't make mistakes on offense, have a really good defense, and try to control like time of possession, the turnover game, and field position. And that's kind of, it's not flashy, but that'll win a lot of football games in the Big 12. And those are two of the best guys to do it. I love playing Baylor. It seems like every time it's memorable. So I don't know. I would have never guessed we'd be a favorite in this game at home. But here we are, 3-0. Who would have thought? Not me.
That just tells me a lot about, I think Vegas is respecting Iowa State a little bit. Right. I don't think they're necessarily down on Baylor a ton. So this is usually one of those signals. Like, if I was a neutral observer and I saw the unranked team is giving points at home to a ranked team, I would think, oh, we got to take the unranked team. That's just what makes the most sense. So good spot for Iowa State. Great test for Hunter Deckers. He played okay in the Iowa game. You know, the 99-yard drive is going to be one we never forget.
Right.
He made some mistakes in that game. He's going to have to clean that up this week. I'll be interested to see how we try and run the ball against Ika, because, like, I say, like, he's Samoan as they come. He's like 6'5", I think, like 350 pounds. He just, like, eats double teams in the middle. He is a tough dude to deal with. Baylor's kicked our ass on special teams the last few years, too. They've returned a kickoff for a touchdown last year. But the interesting thing about this series is that I don't know how long it's been since the road team won. We came very close to winning in Waco a couple times. Think back the last couple times Baylor visited here, they had that big early lead in 2020, and then we scored like a billion points in the second half and ran away from them. In 2018, I had forgotten about this. That was the fight game. Yeah.
Oh, love that one. I was there. I was at that game.
It might have been like 2016, maybe the last time the road team won a game in the series. Well, no, 2017, because I think that was maybe right after Briles, where Baylor was like 1-11.
Oh, but okay. Yeah.
These teams, they play very close games. The home team usually wins, at least they have the last few times. I think this is a good spot for Iowa State. It's a great test. And I tell you what, if we can get a victory in this game, that makes the next couple weeks very, very interesting for Iowa State.
Yeah.
If you beat the preseason favorite on your home field to start conference play, you start thinking about, okay, who can we not beat if we're able to beat Baylor?
Right. And I think more than any of the three games we've seen so far, this will be the best way to be like, okay, who are we this year? Actually, I was always going to be weird. I don't think Ohio and SEMO are great indicators of like who we are as a football team. I think once we play Baylor, we know they're a solid team. I don't think they're the greatest team in the country, but if we win, or even if we play them real tight, I think that means, you know, we're going to be in any game that we play. Even if we get, you know, if we lose by 7-10 points, I don't think it's the end of the world. We're a young team. We're going to learn from it. But yeah, if we win this, I think we go into week 5 ranked, and I think we could rattle off some wins, and all of a sudden we're kind of looking at the rest of Big 12 and being like, okay, who's next kind of thing. So I love this.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Big 12 play is usually when Matt Campbell teams get into, you know, kick it into overdrive. We haven't started 3-0 since 2012, so I don't really know how we're going to react to being in this position, but I am very excited to see it. I'm not, like, are you worried about the kickoff time? I think there were some people that were, like, a little bummed out about it, but I'm not worried about, like, a full crowd being charged up.
No, and I was shocked to see that the last time we played an 11 o'clock game was Louisiana Lafayette, or 11 o'clock home game, I should say. I shouldn't have even brought that game up. That was a bad Yeah, that one great. But no, I think 11 a.m. kicks are fine. I think you could have played this one at 7 a.m. and Jack Chise is going to be loud. We don't like Baylor in general. Big 12 opener. I think it's going to be packed. I think it's going to be raucous. I think it's going to be loud. Also, I don't know if this plays into it or not. I think just kind of all of Iowa State is invigorated by Cy-Town. And I think it's just going to be a super fun atmosphere. I'll be up in the morning in Ames. I got to work Saturday night, but I'll be up there in Ames, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm not too worried about the 11 a.m. kick.
I can tell you one thing for sure. Usually when people are heading into the game, they kind of head in from all directions. I feel like Saturday, that route where Cy-Town is going to be is a very popular walking space.
Yeah.
Should be some a lot of fun.
Mental images are going to be taken of like, this is what it used to look like.
They're going to be like, wait, they're really going to fit all that stuff in here?
Yeah.
I know that's what I'll be doing. Going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to podcasting after the game too, win or lose. It's exciting times. Big 12 play is here. It's going to be a great season of Big 12 football. Dylan, great to podcast with you as always. We're going to go ahead and leave this one a little short because I want to get this out right away. Honestly, it's late on a Tuesday, so I'm sure you guys are ready to start doing your prep for Baylor.